Shall we open the scriptures again at the first letter to the Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've got another sermon in the series on Corinthians that I've been using for some time now when I'm leading the services. And this sermon is based on the first 11 verses of chapter 12. So let's read those now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the work of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So the sermon this morning is entitled, A Charismatic Church. Congregation of our Lord, sadly, the term charismatic is used to describe particular types of churches today. It's a word that has come to be applied to worship and worship styles in particular. We might even describe our own services at times as non-charismatic. And we would be conveying by that our services are fairly orderly, with a reasonably set liturgy. Nothing too much out of the ordinary or spontaneous occurs in our worship services. We basically know what will happen and where we are in the service at any given point. And the music style is fairly reserved, rather than upbeat and racy. But it is a pity that the word charismatic has been used in this way, because I very much doubt that Paul would have used it in that way. In fact, he would have had trouble describing any church of the Lord Jesus Christ as non-charismatic. Let me explain what I mean. In 1 Corinthians 12, we are beginning a new section in Paul's letter. It's a section that runs through until the end of chapter 14, where he concludes that everything in the worship service should be done in a fitting and orderly way. We can deduce from this that Paul was wanting to correct some of the practices in the Corinthian congregation, practices that were unfitting and disorderly. But that does not mean that he would have been willing to describe the congregation as non-charismatic. In fact, the opposite was the case. In chapters 12, 4 to 6, we read, Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. The word for gifts here is the word charismata. It comes from the word charis, meaning grace or favor. And if you look at the Greek dictionary, you will find that the word charisma, in its plural charismata, mean gracious favors from God, free gifts of the Lord's grace. Now, Paul's point here is that there are different kinds of gracious gifts from God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it is the same Spirit who works in all of them, who works indeed all of them and all men. Please note, Paul is not saying that there are some people who have gracious gifts from God and others who do not. He's not saying that God dispenses his gifts to all. Again, in the next verse, he is saying that to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is important because it's clear from what Paul goes on to say that the Corinthians were valuing certain gifts above others, especially the gift of speaking in tongues, which we will come to in a later sermon. And in the midst of this discussion, he points out that love is the greatest gift of all. Love is orientated towards the other person rather than to self. And the Corinthians have to learn that all gifts of God are precisely that. They are gracious gifts of God that have been given so that others can be built up. They're not signs of the spirituality, the power and sophistication of those who exercise them, and they are certainly not an excuse to look down upon others who do not have such gifts. So Paul's making two very important points here. He's saying that those who possess certain gifts must realize that they have been given those gifts by God. They're gracious gifts, not reasons to boast. And he's also saying that God dispenses gifts to all he chooses. There is no one who does not possess charismata, gracious gifts from the Lord. And he goes on to mention apostles, prophets, workers of miracles, but also those who help others and those who have gifts of administration. This is not an exhaustive list. Others are mentioned in Romans 12 and in Ephesians 4. But Paul has said enough to make his point. God has dispensed an immense variety of gracious gifts to all his people. So to call a church in this sense non-charismatic would suggest that in this church there are no people with gracious gifts from God. And the apostle would then say, so those talents that you possess, are these of your own doing? Has God not been involved in this process? If you have ability in music, for example, is not this not a gracious gift of God? Sure, you may have trained and worked hard and brought that gift to potential, but is this ability that you possess not something that God has given you? If you once lose sight of that, you'll be in danger of walking in the same path as the Corinthians who saw spirituality as a sign to some abilities in particular, and then saw those as serving their own egos and pride rather than building up those around them. Are we a charismatic church in that sense? Absolutely. If we are not, then there is something seriously wrong with the way we view ourselves and our abilities. But what does this mean for us? Well, first it calls us to exercise discernment. Not everything that goes by the name spiritual is from the Holy Spirit. We can see this especially from verse 3. from the first three verses, Paul says, now about spiritual things, he does not actually mean the word charismata, gifts, until later. Here he uses the word eumeticus, which means things to do with the Spirit. And then he goes on to say that once you people were pagans or Gentiles and somehow you were influenced and led astray by idols. Remember, he's speaking in this letter about meat sacrificed to idols and the feasts that took place in the idols' temples. They might have seemed all very religious and all very spiritual, maybe even noble. The spirit of Asclepius held festivals to celebrate the healings that were supposed to be attributed to this god. And there were people who were into this in a big way in Corinthian society. Ah, but no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, spirituality is not about miracles or religious festivals or prayer or chanting or mysticism. True spirituality submits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the kind of spirituality that is from the Holy Spirit. Everything else is counterfeit. Ah, well, I'm sure that they had various materials to promote religions, or the religion of Asclepius in Corinth. Maybe they had seminars to explain the thinking behind this religion, or there may have been handouts in some form or other. If they had bookshops in those days, you may have been able to go to a special section devoted to the temple of Asclepius and find all sorts of interesting things there. And I'm sure it would have appeared very devout and spiritual. But Paul would have none of it. When you were Gentiles, he says, somehow, in some strange way, you were led astray by dumb idols. But that's the past, isn't it? You see, brothers and sisters, we do have bookshops in our day. And yes, you can go to the spiritual section and find things there to do with Eastern religions and transcendental meditation and astrology and New Age crystals, etc., etc. There's a whole raft of religious practices and thinking that goes under the name spiritual in our day. But very little of it is from the Holy Spirit. So-called spirituality that does not openly submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is not from God at all. It is leading people astray, and we have to be discerning in what we read and what we see. But then secondly, we have to realize that the gifts we do possess are for the common good. The apostle makes this very clear in verse 7. So the purpose that God has used in the dispensing of his gifts is for the common good of the body of Christ. Paul is going to go on to this at some length in the second half of this chapter. There should be no divisions in the body of Christ. All parts are equally important and honorable, and each should be serving to build up and strengthen the whole body. Brothers and sisters, let's not spend our time gazing in the mirror and asking what gift we have or don't have. And let's not bemoan the fact that our skills lie in one area and not in another. Instead, let's use our gifts in the congregation for the building up of the body. I can tell you that your session really wants you to be actively involved in the life of the church, to own your congregation, to be part of it. That does not mean that you must all do the same things or be the same in terms of your gifts. your interests or your cultural background. But it does mean that you think of yourselves as part of a local body of Christ, a member of a family, and that you serve as you are able and equipped for the good of the body as a whole. If you do this, and as you do this, you will feel more and more a part of the family, and you will receive blessing as well as being blessed, a blessing to others. There may be areas in which only you can serve. Others don't have your gifts or your opportunity, and you can do things that others can't. And the Lord has brought you into this congregation for that purpose. You are a vital part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Young people, let me challenge you, especially in this area. One of the greatest questions you can ask is this: what can I do? How can I serve? This is a spiritual question because it looks outward to others. Many never ask that question. They don't get past, what can the church do for me? How can my needs be met? Let me say it again. The spiritual question is, how can I serve the Lord? What can I do to build up the body? Will that take sacrifice? Most likely. Will it involve using the talents God has given me? Yes. But these are gracious gifts of God. So dare to ask that question. Ask it of your elders and your deacons. How can I help? Where can I serve to build up the body of Christ? But it's not just young people who have to ask this question. As office bearers, we think about this. Many times the point is made that serving an office is just that. It is serving the Lord and his people. Is it a sacrifice? Yes. Does it involve time and effort and maybe a rescheduling of one's life? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. It is a spiritual task. But so is the playing of hymns, the organizing of rosters, and the setting up of the flowers, and the keeping of the church books, and the countless other things that need to be done in a healthy congregation. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now let's be encouraged and take heart in the service we are giving and carry on in these spiritual tasks. Finally, to God be the glory and the honor. The church belongs to him. The gifts and abilities you have come from him. Let's render to him the thanks and praise that he deserves. The most gracious gifts we have received from God is the gift of salvation itself that we have in the Lord Jesus. But it is also his gracious gift that we can be part of a congregation and serve him together, side by side. So let us praise and honor him for this. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us all things through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gifts that you have given us. We thank you that we all have gifts, different gifts. And we pray you would help us, indeed by your Holy Spirit, to come to know those gifts, to come to use them more, and to share them for the upbuilding of your body. Father, be our help, we pray. Quicken us and direct us in how we can indeed use those gifts you have given us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.